Turn your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. The next few Sundays we will be looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. For that is the journey of our heart, is to have your hand of blessing upon our nation. Oh Lord, in the light of this previous week, the highest court in our land and our politicians, all the things that our leaders are doing, oh God, we pray that as your people, that we will stand for you, and that we will be witnesses for you empowered by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we can't count on man to do anything right. The only person we can trust is you, Lord Jesus. So, oh God, help us as your people to share you, the only one that we can trust and rely on to do righteousness. Lord, we do pray for our nation. Lord, we pray that our leaders will look to you for guidance and be people that will study your word to know what is right and wrong and to rely on your Holy Spirit. We do ask that, Lord, for them. May your Holy Spirit convict and move their hearts. And may you receive all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit of God is not your inner voice. The Holy Spirit of God is not your conscience. Hopefully, as a born-again believer, if you are a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit of God will give you a good conscience. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to your conscience. But I promise you this, you better not follow your conscience. You better follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God pours out the love of God in our hearts. The Holy Spirit of God seals us. The Holy Spirit of God assures us. The Holy Spirit of God fills us as born of the Spirit people. The Holy Spirit of God, He can be breathed. The Holy Spirit of God, He can be quenched because a symbol of Him is fire. He can be quenched in a worship service or in our lives. The Holy Spirit of God, He is the cultivator of our hearts that allows the good seed of the Word of God to take root and to bear fruit. Is the cultivator in that He bears fruit in us and through us to the glory of God. The Holy Spirit of God tells us through the firm foundation, the only foundation to build upon, is Jesus Christ. And if we don't work in the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that work will be burned at the judgment. It's hay and stubble. We must build upon Jesus Christ, and that work lasts according to God's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Know ye not, you are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, indwells you. So the Holy Spirit of God is the third person of our triune God, the third person of the Trinity. God relates to us as Father. God relates to us through Jesus Christ. God relates to us through the Holy Spirit. He is deity. He is God. And we find here in our text this morning how Jesus speaks of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, we read, "But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." There the last night of the in the upper room, and there in the prayer of the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and their hearts are full of sorrow, and he tells them, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And they're troubled because they are not quite aware, fully grasped what was fixing to happen. Because Jesus, the very next day, was going to the cross of Calvary. Jesus, the very next day, was going to be laid in the tomb. But praise God, he went away to the grave and he conquered death. And he rose again the third day. And 40 days later, after he ministered to the disciples, over 500 people saw him ascend up into heaven. The two angels says he will also come in like manner. And then a few days later, as the disciples were in the upper room praying, the Holy Spirit came. You see, God in the flesh cannot indwell all of our hearts at one time. God in the flesh had to ascend up. And when we see God, we will see the very image of the Godhead who is Jesus Christ. But he had to ascend up so that his Spirit now can indwell all of our hearts and be with us as our comforter, our helper, and give us power to share Jesus in this world. So Jesus said, "I have to go away." You don't fully understand it, but the Holy Spirit will explain it to you in days ahead. The very people that the disciples ran away from and who were scared of there on the day of Pentecost, Peter, who had denied Jesus three times to a little maid, he spoke to the very people who sentenced Jesus to death, and he proclaimed Jesus to them. On the day of Pentecost, how? By the Spirit of God. That's how. So Jesus said, as we look at the work of the Holy Spirit, we see in verses 6 and 7 that a work of the Holy Spirit is to help us. Verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now this word, Helper, the name, a name of the Holy Spirit of God, can be translated three ways. It can mean helper, it means comforter, and it means advocate. All three of these names that this word can be translated into, it means like in a court of law, we have a helper. We have someone who comforts us. We have someone who is our advocate. You see, the Holy Spirit of God convicts those and judges those who will not place their faith in Jesus Christ. And God will be just at the judgment when those who will not place their faith in Jesus, when they go to hell, God will be just in his judgment because the Holy Spirit of God did convict their hearts of their sin and they refused to place faith in Jesus. But, see, he's a prosecutor to those who will not place their faith in Jesus. But he's also the helper, our advocate, our the person who stands on our account and stands on our account and helps us and comforts us in this world as our advocate, our go-between. So he is a helper to us. Also, it says, verse 8, through 12, we're going to see that he convicts. Let's look at this, verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Jesus explains this a little further. He says, of sin, because they do not believe in me. You see, the problem that we have as human beings goes all the way back to Genesis. It's amazing that in the beginning of the book, we're called sinners. Sinners. Out of fellowship, out of relationship with the Holy God. And from Genesis all the way to the New Testament, is preparing us that we need the Savior. The Savior. So the Holy Spirit of God convicts our hearts and says, you're a sinner. You need a Savior. You need a Redeemer. He convicts our hearts. He moves us. And we place our faith, our response to God's grace and mercy is to follow Jesus, believe Jesus, place our faith in Jesus. We do have a response. Something that we must do is to commit our whole lives to Jesus Christ. So he convicts of sin, also of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So he convicts of righteousness. This means two things. Convicts of righteousness that the next day he was going to the cross and shed his last blood so that we can have forgiveness of sins. And he convicts of righteousness that anyone who thinks that they are righteous apart from that shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God convicts and says, you know that you're really not. The only righteous before God, his name is the righteous one. And it is Jesus who is the righteous one before God. And you and I, our lives must be immersed in the righteous one. It's not you. It's not me. But it's Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God will convict your heart that you need Jesus. Any teaching other than the righteousness of Jesus Christ is not of God. Makes me angry to think that anyone believes or teaches righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. I get jealous for God. The Holy Spirit of God convicts of sin and of righteousness. You need the righteousness of God, who is Jesus. And also it says of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan is a liar. He is not going to win at the end. He's already been judged. He has lost. The war has been won. It was won at Calvary. It was won at the empty tomb. And it will be finalized when Jesus comes back. Right now, there's shots being fired. In World War II, when we took over Europe, we had won the war, but there were still snipers shooting away. We still have snipers shooting away. But we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. So he convicts of judgment. Also, we see that he guides. He said, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So he guides us into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and And he will tell you things to come. So he guides us into all spiritual truth. He guides us into spiritual truth. He guides us to the truth. To Jesus. So he guides. Yesterday, we went to one of Alicia's family reunions, a Davis reunion. I still don't know exactly where we were at. But between driving home and all facts and all over in that part of Louisiana. And we had this GPS again. I shared stories with the GPS with you before, but this was yesterday, the most recent. And we got between all facts and all that area over there, even went through Flatwoods. Some of y'all are from Flatwoods. That's some flat country right there, isn't it? Anyway, we got over there, and that GPS end is down a dead-end road. And folks, I'm kind of from over that part of Louisiana, too, and I started looking for some of my cousins. I didn't want to be down a dead-end road with some of my cousins around. I was getting worried. So, we got on that GPS, went back home, found the blacktop again, and went and started going, and that GPS, we got to a T. And Lisa said, it says go right. The thing on the GPS, that lady said, turn right. Well, I was there, and I looked down that road, and I looked down there, and I saw a big sign, Davis Reunion. I did. I said, Alicia, the sign says go there. But the GPS anyway, then maybe you've had conversations like this with your wives before. Okay? We had a conversation. Finally, I said, turn the GPS off. And we started following the signs, and we turned left and turned right, and we finally made it to where the Davis family reunion was yesterday. What I'm getting at is this. The Holy Spirit of God guides us into spiritual truth. It doesn't matter how many initials they got by their name. It doesn't matter if they say it's all spiritual or it's all religious. I promise you this. Please listen. The Holy Spirit of God will always guide you to Jesus Christ. You hear me? And I promise you this. Please listen. This is important. Please listen. The Holy Spirit of God will never guide you away from this, God's Word. It will never contradict this. Please understand that. If it contradicts the Word of God, it's not the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of something else, who is supernatural, who can do great wonders. Read Revelation. Guides us into all spiritual truth. Now, another very important thing to understand about the work of the Holy Spirit. We read in verse 14, and Jesus says, He will glorify me. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So, important work of the Holy Spirit of God, that he glorifies Jesus. There's no Jesus in that. It's not a God. You hear me? There's no Jesus involved. It's not a God. And I'm not talking about interchanging names of God, and I'm talking about it must be Jesus. Jesus, not Allah, not Muhammad, not Buddha. Interchanging the name for God is not of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God glorifies Jesus Christ. Always. Don't tell me it's all a good thing and it's all the same stuff. That's phooey. And that's a polite word. The Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God glorifies Jesus Christ in our hearts. You take it up with God. It's not of the God of the Bible if it doesn't exalt Jesus. If it exalts humanism and all the isms of this world, it's not of the God of the Bible. I know this is very offensive because the whole world thinks that you can talk about God all you want to. But when he starts saying Jesus, that's when the feathers start getting ruffled. Why? Why is it? Because the God of this world, the devil, trembles at the name of Jesus. The devil of hell tremble when Jesus is mentioned. So in this world, you can speak of God all you want to, but when you speak the name, because when you say Jesus, it says that we're sinners, we're hopeless, we're helpless, we need a helper, we need a comforter, we need someone who saves us from our sins. That's why in this world you can talk about God all you want to. Don't you know what I mean? Here's an example. I had a man talk there tonight. Not in this town, not while I was pastor of this church. But it stuck with me. He said, Brother Evans, I went to First Baptist Church, and I ain't going to tell you what town or what state or anything. And I was there the whole time, and not one prayer, not one song, not even the message of the pastor mentioned the name of Jesus. A First Baptist church in a town. Don't you realize? Don't you notice? When there's something that's supposed to be worshipped and Jesus is not exalted, what does it do to our spirit? To judge. It's like blood. Why? Because there's a yearning in our hearts to worship Jesus. There's a yearning. The Spirit of God in us wants us to worship Jesus, to point to Jesus, to glorify Jesus. And when Jesus is not involved in worship or religion or anything that's supposed to be of God, it's a good. Why? Because Jesus said, you're neither hot nor cold, and you make them sick. Feeding out of his mouth. The book. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is not involved. It always glorifies Jesus. You see, when we're in fellowship, we're born again of the Spirit in fellowship with God, that yearning to glorify Jesus is in our hearts. If you're here this morning, don't know the first thing I've said this morning. You don't know, you have no idea what I just said or it offended you. You need to pray for God to extend His grace to you this morning. Because you need to be saved. Just flat out saved. What you need. Jesus. What did he say? When you sin, does he convict you? Do you have that yearning to get closer to Jesus? What did he say? What makes us different from all the other religions? You want a relationship so bad, so much with us that you will even give us your spirit. Give us your righteousness. What a great God. We love Him, God. We love Him. Your Holy Spirit have free reign. That freedom where the Spirit of God is a strength. We have free reign this morning. Hear this in.